Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 51 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I am your host, Preston Pugh, and I am joined by my very two best friends, Garrett Drake.
That'd be me.
How are you doing?
I'm just fine, Preston. I noticed you said my very two best friends.
Yeah.
So are we your very best friends, or are we just your very two?
You're my very two.
Best friends.
Best friends.
Okay, that's good. That's all. I just wanted to clarify. Jacob, how are you doing?
I want him to ask me because you're not the host.
Yeah, sorry.
You're overstepping your boundaries.
I am. Sorry. I already got sued
for
that once.
You might have
better check yourself.
All,
you are.
All the weeks you guys have seen me hosting, it's because Preston was on a very important business trip, and I had to discuss the entire procedure with his lawyers just to make sure I did everything correctly and didn't overstep my boundaries and said, "Hey guys, I'm the new permanent host and stuff." If those words came out of my mouth, I would have been fired.
Yeah. Well, so technically, I have the clip of you saying it now, so.
Well, don't blackmail me. No one blackmail me, please, because I love this job. I'm sorry. I'll just keep my mouth shut.
How are
you,
Jacob?
Thing.
I'm well, thanks.
That's good. How's your week been?
It's been a very good week.
That's good.
Played a lot of Uncharted 4.
Ooh.
And I beat it.
I think that makes three of us, except for the beating it part.
Yeah.
Just you.
I beat it to Uncharted 4.
I'm sorry? What was that?
Nothing. That wasn't a sexual joke or anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you beat it to Uncharted.
Yeah.
I see it.
Oh, did you just get it?
No, I see. I didn't understand what you said at first.
Okay.
I just sounded like a jumble of words.
Oh, no.
But then I slowly pieced it together in
I
my
said.
Brain.
Yeah.
So you've beaten it to Uncharted 4.
Did
see, I can understand
why. Did
you put
the disc green around your little pee?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, your pee?
Yeah.
Uncharted 4, I can understand why. It's a beautiful game.
Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous. But yeah, you've been playing that as well?
I have, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's hard to, everyone knows that's listening, we're not going to spoil the game.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jacob's the only one that's beaten it. Mm-hmm. We'll probably review the game next week, but as of right now, we've just played a majority of it,
mm-hmm.
and we've played enough to be able to say, my goodness, it's hard to find words to describe just how good this video game is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say my basic thoughts. Mm-hmm. The writing, storytelling, gameplay, and attention to detail is just absolutely through the roof. And Last of Us, to this day, I haven't beaten Uncharted 4 yet, is the very best video game I've ever played on all fronts.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it. This game has taken ideas and game mechanics from The Last of Us and improved upon them. And so far, this story is incredibly emotional.
Mm-hmm.
That's no spoilers. Just emotional and not in like a very sad way. It's just like the character development and storytelling is so good that I can feel by the end, I'm like, this is going to hit me hard. I can feel it.
Yeah.
So I'm like excited and nervous about it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I have absolutely loved my experience so far. Every moment I've played has been absolutely thrilling and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I'm in a gunfight or exploring or discovering something, it's awesome. But that's all I'm going to say for now.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, I can pretty much agree with you. I can't really, you know, like you said, I haven't beaten it yet, so I can't give like a hardcore, like concrete decision on it. But absolutely, so far, it's the best graphics I've seen. It's the best, just overall the best game on PS4, hands down.
Oh, easily.
Definitely since The Last of Us, I haven't played a game that I've been just like so emotionally involved with. And I think it's due to just how good the characters are. And I've just followed them through, you know, four games now. Well,
mm-hmm.
Nate through four games.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
well, I guess Sully too.
That's certainly part of it.
Yeah, it's just like the attachment to these characters. And like you said, it's like, and not really a spoilers or anything, because I don't even know what's going to happen. But it's just like the story is just getting so much tension in it, and I just like feel like it's gonna pop eventually, and it's just I feel like it's gonna hit me really hard, and
right.
especially this being the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm savoring it so hardcore, and I'm only playing kind of like one or two chapters at a time, and I kind of just want to let it settle. I want to think about it, because this is the last Naughty Dog Uncharted game, and I don't want to beat it. That makes me sad that I'm going to have to beat it. So I'm kind of just playing that, and I bought Doom, which you can watch a Let's Play of that later this week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really enjoying that a ton, because it's, you know, once I beat my one or two chapters from Uncharted, I can just hop on Doom and just like go completely crazy and just shooting demons in the head and stuff. So that combination of games is definitely what I've been doing this week, and I'm going to continue doing until I unfortunately beat Uncharted and go for that platinum. But yeah, so far, man, Naughty Dog, they're just a bunch of, like, I don't even know.
They're the very best
at
what
they
do.
They're definitely not of this earth.
No.
It's ridiculous. It's like, I forgot who said it, but it's like showing somebody, like, this game and they don't know what games are is like not really good for them, because it's like it's the epitome of game design, like the top, like top notch, can't get any better than this.
Definitely from a storytelling perspective.
Yeah, and just presentation wise and stuff. It's like bad to show somebody this, because then they're just like going to think every game's like this, and this game is just so high above.
It is
everything else. I mean, in terms of just storytelling, I mean, I would say Ratchet and Clank, another PS4 exclusive, in terms of graphics, is production quality. I'll see how you can. Yeah, in terms of that, but just the complete package of just realistic graphics, the acting, the story, the dialogue, you know, pretty much everything. The gameplay's super solid. The game runs just well. Like, it runs at a very steady 30 frames. And I
only had one hiccup.
One hiccup? See, I haven't had any yet.
Me neither.
So
yeah, it was just very late in the game.
It's great. And knowing that the PlayStation 4.5 or Neo, whatever it's called, is coming out, it makes me really think, because, you know, Naughty Dog did this with the old PlayStation.
Imagine what they can do with an upgrade.
I know.
My goodness.
Holy crap. But, yeah, it's incredible. Now, having beat the game with absolutely no spoilers whatsoever, like not even a hint of any spoilers, what can you say about it?
It's, being completely honest here, it might be the best video game story I've ever gone through.
Okay.
Like, right up there with The Last of Us, for sure.
Now, is this, are you, do you mean in terms of the entire series, or just Uncharted 4 standing on its own? It's just an amazing story.
Both.
Okay.
The last game is by far, it has the most depth, and it's the best story, in my opinion. The game is, like you guys have said, absolutely beautiful. It's probably one of the best looking games I've ever played. I don't play PC games, so I'm sure there are much better looking games out there.
I wouldn't even say that, though.
You don't think?
No. I'm sure there's games on par with it, but like...
Yeah. It looks really
even the
good.
Snootiest of PC gamers cannot denounce like the achievement of this, and it's not just us saying that. Every review I've read, people that have played maxed out PC games are saying that this is that's a breathtaking game.
Like I spent so much time just taking pictures with the, you know, the in-game picture editor, whatever it's called. I at least have 15 different unique pictures. I would like, you know, spend 15 minutes just hanging out at a spot, getting different angles.
Just,
like,
just looking at everything.
Yeah, there was like, there's several waterfalls in the game I took pictures by. Took some with Elena, with Sam.
Yeah.
It was just really fun.
It is.
It's just little stuff like that that makes this game really fun to me.
I didn't know you could be with Elena. Yeah, I guess that comes later.
Yeah.
You spoiler man.
I mean, it's the last game. I mean,
I know. Well, I figured, I guess.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Let's see. Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop talking.
I'll just mention some things. It's impossible for me to spoil it, so I'll mention some things as far as details are concerned that I really like. I mean, there's a million, literally there's countless things you can mention as far as the details concerned, but one of the things I've really liked is how if you're just standing around like looking at stuff, like I'll just peek over at Sam sometimes, and he'll just be like twirling like a coin in his fingers just standing there like looking around.
Have you showed a flashlight in his face?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, he like winces really bad.
Really?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Really cool. I like how I stood on this big shelf on this thing one time, and it was all dusty, and my footprints were like smearing the dust around and everything.
That's cool.
And then one time, there's like some vines hanging, and obviously in some games, you'll either just like walk right through it, it'll just kind of move, but Nathan will literally like kind of put his hand up and like move it out of the way, which is awesome. Or some other details. I like how you'll, like, I'll be climbing on something and he'll, like, go scratch his arm really quick and then put his hand back and keep climbing.
That's
like,
really
stuff
weird.
Like that.
I
like,
haven't even seen that.
Like, one could argue it's a video game, it's unnecessary, but it's little details like that that truly immerse you into the world you're invested in. And it really makes you feel like you're there and a part of the story, which is amazing. Yeah. And I mean, there, I could name a thousand things.
The first
those
thing
are
I
some
saw
that stand
is
out
during
to me.
The, you go to a banquet and you kind of branch off from everybody and you're doing some climbing some stuff and you jump on this pole, and as you move across the bowl, the pole, it just like bends with you. And I just was like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
That's something that I've never seen in the game. And like, that's something that like, you know, that's something we wouldn't even think about. If the pole didn't bend, we would have been like, whatever. But just they took the time to do that. It just, I noticed it and it made me appreciate it. Just like everything you were saying.
Yeah.
That's just, it's those little details that makes the world come alive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just things that you don't even think about that just that happen in real life.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. so cool.
Reflections are another thing.
Yeah.
They don't need to put that in. Mm.
The water is so gorgeous. And they like puddles and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's mirrors that you can look at yourself too.
Yeah. Remember every back in the old days when they couldn't do mirrors, every mirror was just busted for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I always appreciate when a developer takes the time to put your reflection in a mirror, which is rare, but it is in some games. But there's another thing I thought was interesting.
I've always, this has been in like every game ever now, but I just love how your magazines just stay on the floor. And they just pop up and stay there.
I love that.
That's not new at all, but I've always thought that's so cool.
Me too. I like that a lot.
And just the strap on your gun too. There's no more magnetic locking
on your
back.
I greatly appreciate that.
Yes, that has got to change.
Speaking of the strap. Obviously, that's huge for me as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see the strap. But, you know, another thing I love doing is when you ready your gun, you can see it kind of, like, bounce and hang. The physics in the game are unreal. Even though there are some crazy action scenes where you basically defy physics, especially with your leaps and stuff. Regardless of that, the little things and the details, as far as the physics are concerned, I'm a physics junkie when it comes to video games. Like, the strap bouncing around, like, the magazines hitting the floor. What's another really good example I had of physics? I can't remember.
What about, like, footprints?
Footprints are... Yeah, footprints.
Awesome.
The physics and the footprints are beautiful. But, for example, like, just when you... Like, when you use the winch on the Jeep.
Yes.
Or, like, a winch at any time, we have to, like, physically wrap it around a tree and lock it and stuff. It just feels real.
Yeah.
Speaking of this, by the way.
The sliding, the rocks that come down with
you
and they bounce off of you and stuff.
One other thing I love, this isn't a spoiler, I shot a guy one time and he fell off a cliff and he landed on a hill, and like not only could you hear his body hit thud on the ground, but you could hear like the rocks moving and sliding with his dead body down the cliff. I was like, that was awesome.
Yeah, I like Sparta kicked a guy off something and he landed on a slide and like started rolling down. I thought that was cool.
Oh man, it's so good. Yeah. It's like...
Oh, and the stealth, just that's my favorite gameplay mechanic. I love being stealthy in games, and I love how it's not just like in the old Uncharted where you can just be stealthy and then when they find you it's like all hell breaks loose. Like, they can lose track of you and you can start stealth all over again. Like, it's like this has to be incorporated in games from now on. Like, it's something that is just takes you out of the experience in a game when you're just... When there's stealth mechanics and you stealth a dude and then they just know where you are all of a sudden. Like, that, it's like this game is going to spoil me. Where every game that involves you, you know, fighting and stuff, I have to be able to, like, get, like, they have to be able to lose track of me and stuff now. So, yeah. I mean, I shouldn't expect that because, like I said, this is Naughty Dog. I shouldn't expect any other developer to really come close to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely going to spoil me with some mechanics in this game that I'm going to want in like every game from now on now.
I feel you. So. I've heard some people argue like, oh, like the third-person shooting is just okay in the Uncharted games. But I think in this game specifically, I'm like blown away. Not how good it feels, but how it feels in the sense of like, oh, they developed it really well. But just like every time I'm in a firefight, I know you've mentioned, a lot of people mentioned, what's cool about this game specifically is that grounded is a great way to describe it because every firefight makes sense why it's happening. It's just not like an onslaught of dudes. That's one thing. But just the firefights themselves just feel fantastic, especially when you're wearing like a good pair of headphones. You can just hear the battle around you. The guns feel great. And for a game that's rated T, even with a lack of blood and violence, it still feels very real in the firefights, which I like. Yeah. And it's just a classic feeling. You have to like shoot a guy and then jump off a cliff and rope swing and then jump off and land on a guy and his pistol flies up and you catch it and roll, take cover and shoot another guy. It's just, it's amazing how well it's developed, and the firefights are so much fun. And I remember one of the original things that I was pumped about that you guys will remember as well from the original E3 demo or PSX demo was when they first showed off the fact that if you are in a firefight and you lose their line of sight, they'll be like, where'd he go? And like look for you and stuff. That, I remember right off the bat, I was like, wow, that's really awesome. And experiencing that in the full game has just been great. Yeah. So it's just been a wild ride so far. And like I said, I'm excited to finish, but I'm also very scared because like you guys have said, it's the last one. And you've been invested in the series a lot longer than Jacob and I have, but Jacob and I both played through 1, 2, and 3 recently. I mean, I had played 2 back in the day, but just recently played 3 and 1, and now to go into 4, it's like, even if you have just played this trilogy and going into 4, it still feel like it has that same impact because it's just... Like we said, the storytelling is so good and the character development is amazing, and just they do a very good job to make you feel for these characters, and it's very sad that this is the end of the journey, but Jacob and many people stated that the ending is very satisfying, so in that sense, I'm pumped.
Yeah, me too. Luckily, this isn't Naughty Dog's last game, so that at least gives me hope that they will continue doing things that I will care about, so that's at least one thing that makes me happy about this franchise ending, is that they're probably going to continue with The Last of Us, and who knows, they might start something else that I'm going to be completely invested in as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Totally. But,
I'm excited. I'm definitely going to play some multiplayer as well. I really enjoyed the Uncharted beta, so all that I can at least keep playing that when the game's over and I have platinum bit and stuff, just to you know, keep it going.
I'm excited. I saw some guy have like a neon green camo on the gun. I was like, I kind of want that. I got the Libertalia edition.
Okay.
I did. I got a big Nathan Drake statue.
Nathan
Drake statue. Yeah. And a steel book that looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And I got exclusive skins and gun camos for multiplayer.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, I got the Drake's, the first one, his outfit from the first one, the heist outfit from the second one,
okay,
and the third one where he's wearing the scarf. I have all of those. I love
that third one out.
Yeah, that was really cool. Then I got a golden pistol camo and then a desert camo for the
AK. Awesome. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Now, when I know you were out of town when this game came out this week, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Did you pull a Fallout 4 and like buy a copy?
I have two copies.
Okay, that's what I thought. So our original plan was to unbox that edition. I guess it's kind of too late now.
It's too late because a billion people have done it.
Right.
And honestly, it wasn't it was not much at all. Like the box was cool.
It's more of the stuff that comes like from multiplayer and stuff, like all the skins and stuff.
It's like the Fallout one was really cool because of the case it was in and how everything was in there. This was literally a massive box with the coin on it from the game. You open it up and there's the statue of Drake, which is very, I think it's really nice quality. It's very heavy and it looks nice. And then under it, literally under the styrofoam, there's the game and an art book.
Okay.
And that's it.
Nice. Does it come with like a map of anything? I always like maps.
Yeah. No.
I guess it'd be pointless to have a map of Madagascar and you can just download
it's
one.
It's literally like just the statue and it's not even packaged really cool. It's like in styrofoam.
Okay.
So yeah, it would have been a really, really boring unboxing. Like
I get that.
It's not, it was not cool at all, but the statue is really cool. So.
Speaking of collector's editions, the Pip-Boy man, as cool as I think that is, it is the bane of my existence.
Oh, really?
That thing, man, when I keep it in my corner over there, it manages to fall off its pedestal every 5 minutes. I constantly knock it over, and it just makes so much noise, and it's just always in the way. I need, like, a shelf to put it on.
Yeah.
I mean, I never wear it. And, like, I'm still glad I got it, but that thing just drives me insane. Like, it's on the floor right now because it fell off on its own earlier. So, that thing's awful.
Yeah, I ran out of space. I have so much Fallout stuff in my gaming area that I've had to take all my other statues and, like, put them on my desk now.
Okay.
So I have, like, all my statues now with Nathan Drake being, like, triple the size of all of them, like, in the middle of all of them.
Yeah.
So
I haven't seen your all your collectible stuff in your room in a long time.
I have quite a few collectibles, yes.
It's been a while.
It has.
Speaking of Naughty Dog a bit, I just wanted to dabble in this a bit. What are your thoughts on this as far as a Last of Us sequel is concerned? Do you guys, are you hopeful for that? Are you optimistic about it? Are you scared for a Last of Us sequel? What do you think?
I think we've talked about this before, and my opinion is probably the exact same. It's going to happen. I think something leaked from some dude's LinkedIn saying that he worked on some animation or something from it. I'm pretty sure that's with The Last of Us 2, but they'd be stupid kind of not to, because the first one did so well. And got, you know, obviously a ton of critical acclaim, but, I mean, cool. I don't want them to really touch Joel and Ellie's story, but
the
then
same
again,
way.
I kind of do because I loved those characters so much. And that's what I like about Naughty Dog is their character development. So I would be completely fine with that, I guess, but then I don't want them to, so I'm kind of torn. I know in the end I know they'll do what's right,
right?
So that's kind of where I am. It's just they have given no reason at all to doubt anything they do, so I'm just gonna,
not yet
and I
have a lot of faith in Neil Druckmann, though. If anything's in his hands, I feel comfortable.
That's what I'm saying. It's
it.
Not like they've like stuttered. They're like, oh man, that kind of wasn't as good as that. It's just like they've just
They continue to get better.
They continue to get better, and they have not screwed up. I mean, I'm trying to think of one Naughty Dog game that wasn't. I mean, I guess Jack Racing, but even I heard that was like a good kart game, even though that was completely different than anything else they had done.
Mm-hmm.
But like Crash Bandicoot is regarded as a fantastic series. Jack and Daxter is regarded as a fantastic series.
Mm-hmm.
The Uncharted trilogy is quadrilogy,
yeah,
or even more now with Golden Abyss. The five Uncharted games are regarded as amazing games.
Yeah.
Last of Us regarded as one of the best games of all time. Like, what have they done bad?
Yeah. Let's hope Last of Us 2 continues the trend.
I'm sure it will.
And obviously, I hope that Last of Us 2 isn't actually the title. I hope they have a very cool title for the game. I hope they avoid the number two in the title.
Like a zombie. Number two. Like yeah. Left 4 Dead.
The Last of Us 2, and it's like, it's just the hand again. But I don't know. It'd be too hard to brainstorm on titles right now. But
I'll show a Polaroid picture with Joel putting bunny ears over Ellie.
Yeah.
As the two.
Yeah. Everything's jolly and happy.
Yeah.
Preston, we recently saw Marvel's Captain America Civil War. We didn't get to hear your thoughts. We reviewed it. We loved it. Tell us your thoughts.
I loved it. Spider-Man was awesome.
He was.
I was enjoyed. Black Panther was really cool.
He was so cool.
Captain America, that fight with Iron Man was pretty badass.
It was.
The one at the end?
Yeah. I liked it. It was cool.
It was.
That's all I have to say.
Awesome. I'm glad you enjoyed
it. Spider-Man. Ant-Man
was
cool, too.
I'm so pumped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Homecoming is something I'm definitely looking forward to as far as Spider-Man's concerned.
I thought Tom Holland knocked it out of the park.
He did.
Yeah.
Super pumped.
He's a good bloke.
He is a good bloke. He's a British bloke.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, boys, I wanted to touch on Ratchet & Clank a bit. I know you mentioned it earlier as far as graphics are concerned. I haven't talked about it much. I beat the game recently, and I've been playing Challenge Mode. I'm pretty close to platinuming the game.
Is this a topic? Or is this?
No, this is just kind of fun conversation.
All right. Okay.
Did you have something to say?
Oh, I was just going to... I'm assuming you're going to explain what challenge mode is and et cetera.
Yeah.
Because I have no clue. Okay.
So, originally, I was hoping to platinum this game, especially after coming off of Dark Souls 3, because my original intent... I don't know if you listened to our podcast where I talked about my experience with that.
Yeah.
Well, that was depressing to me. I was like, I want to platinum Ratchet & Clank then.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't difficult at all. It just takes a little bit of time. And I beat the game.
As do most platinums.
Yeah. And I beat the game, and I think I mentioned it's really fun. I enjoy it. And that's still the case. And then challenge mode... turns out it is so much more fun than I was expecting. Because normally in New Game Plus, it's like, oh, you get to keep all your weapons. You get to play through the game again. Now, as far as the challenge part is concerned, it hasn't felt any more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so fun in the sense that when you find all the gold bolts, for example, you have all these different outfits you can change into. You can change the look of your ship. You can change the headgear you're wearing. Sorry, I just hit my mic. And you can change the way the bolts look. You know, when the bolts fly around and collecting, you collect like a crap ton more in the challenge mode. So you can change them to these colorful spheres that are just like really bright and glowing. It just makes it visually like awesome with all the stuff flying around constantly. The combat's fun. And you can take like, once you upgrade your weapons all the way, there's like a version of the weapon that unlocks that's even more powerful than a fully upgraded weapon, like the Rhino, for example. Have you unlocked a Rhino in the game?
Yeah.
It is so fun to use, and it's so insanely overpowered.
Yeah,
like,
so
you just graze someone, and they're dead. It can be like a giant enemy. You just graze them, they're dead in a hit. So it's exciting in that sense. And you can play cheat codes, and I'm a little confused about the cheat codes because... I've heard some people say online, oh, you can use these cheat codes and still get trophies. And other people are like, no, you can't. And it's just like a back and forth argument. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell what's true. So I haven't used the cheat codes as far as getting the trophies are concerned, but I briefly used them in my original playthrough. And it's so fun. You can have infinite ammo and infinite health, and you're just this unstoppable Lombax and just destroying everything.
Yeah.
But it's fun. My whole point in saying was, is not only is Ratchet and Clank just one of the most fun games I've played in a long time, in addition to Uncharted, obviously. But, it's just been a ton of fun, and challenge mode is very rewarding in the sense that you're unlocking stuff very quickly, and it's just very fun to play through the game again, because normally if I had to play through a game again just to get a trophy, I'd be like, oh, whatever, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just been like a crap ton of fun so far, and I was just going to say, if anyone hasn't already played Ratchet & Clank and you own a PS4, I can't state enough how strongly I suggest you play it, because it's just absolutely phenomenal experience.
When I have the slightest bit of free time, I'm going to play that game. But
right.
I have so much to play.
Yeah, that's
so
why I meant to mention, when we were talking about Uncharted, the only reason I'm holding off on the Platinum, at least for now, at least for a good while, because one, still working on Ratchet & Clank. Doom just came out. Overwatch is coming out, which me and Jacob should talk about a bit, because we had a ton of fun with it, the beta. Mirror's Edge is coming out soon, next month. Blood and Wine's out the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
So much. Oh, yeah, and Fallout's DLC. It's just like nuts how much stuff is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So I might hold off on a bit on it. I kind of want to dabble in all these new things.
Yeah, Blood and Wine.
Yeah, but that's all I had to really say about Ratchet & Clank. Just ton of fun, and Challenger Mode is very rewarding, which isn't something I normally experience in games that have New Game Plus. Sometimes it's just in there to like, oh, just play it again for fun, or just play it again to get the trophy. But there's enough... it feels fresh enough in challenge mode to make it interesting to me, make me want to play through the game again, which is cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Jacob, you want to discuss a little bit of Overwatch before we continue?
Didn't we last week?
I think we did a bit, but I wanted to talk to Preston about it, because Preston, you never played the beta, did you?
No.
Okay. Have you seen much from it?
I heard that the search for Overwatch porn shot up like 800% or something during the
beta. Wow. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. Highest in South Korea.
That's amazing.
So, And I think the top search was Tracer.
Of course.
And that doesn't surprise me.
So, yeah, South Koreans.
I feel like Widowmaker would be the target.
They're a fan of some Overwatch porn.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah.
Well, me and Jacob had a ton of fun with the game. So. Me and Jacob had fun with it. I don't know if you had any plans on getting it, but we had a lot of fun with it.
I don't know.
Multiplayer was super fun.
Yeah. It's purely multiplayer, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. It's just very fun.
Yeah, it's fun in the if you like being strategic in games, for example, it's fun in the sense that it's very simplistic. Mm-hmm. And
but it also has so much depth at the same time.
It does. Yeah. That's what I was getting to, is that your character selection is crucial on each team, because if you don't have a balanced team, like your healers, your defenders, your offensive players, like, you can lose very easily.
Yeah.
And Jacob and I were very good about trying to keep our team balanced. If we had like four guys playing as Reaper, I'd try to be a healer and he'd be a tank, or vice versa. Mm-hmm.
Also, and, I have heard it's fun, like, to all play one character at the same time.
I bet that's
you don't
funny.
Do very well
yeah.
most of the time, but it's humorous.
I bet
I've
it's
watched
funny.
A couple of videos of people doing that.
Nice. Yeah, it's fun. Like, it sounds like, to some people, it might sound like MOBA-ish, which is not
it
a MOBA.
It is kind of in like the character kind of way, but it doesn't play like a MOBA.
Exactly.
At all.
It plays like a very, like, I think Jacob described it perfectly. It does feel a lot like Team Fortress 2. It's very simple. It's like, go here, either defend or attack the objective. That's it. And the characters all have different abilities, which it isn't confusing in the sense where it's like, this guy does 50 different things and that guy does 50. They all do like two or three different things.
They all have like four things they do.
Yeah, and it's super easy to master them all, and they're all individually like a lot of fun, not only in a gameplay sense, but all the characters' personalities are very entertaining. And the whole time you're playing, it's just fun, because all the characters are always talking to each other and they're just fun to use and it's fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew just from watching the game, like, that looks like a lot of fun. Turns out it is. Me and Jacob had a blast. You should consider joining us.
Yeah, if I have time, for sure, because like I said, the only time I'd be able to play is on the weekends.
Right.
Yeah. Because, I have, like, no internet where I'm working.
It's unfortunate.
So, well, online-only games are really hard for me to play right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, it definitely looks cool. So.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be, like, my go-to shooter when I have nothing else to play.
I feel you.
So, that's that.
Totally.
It's probably going to be Doom.
Doom.
I forgot about that.
Another good one.
Uh-huh. I'm going to go hog wild in multiplayer after we die, or after we lose
after
a match.
Yeah.
Because I've stated this in multiple videos, but in case you guys are joining us and hearing this for the first time, Preston and I have a very, very small, very risky idea regarding Doom. You may have mentioned, or may recall us mentioning at one point, when we played the beta, we did not lose once. We went 46-0 together. It was unreal. And we had some close calls, but most of the time we massacred everyone. Now, that could have been luck, skill, or a combination of both. But we're hoping that going into the full game, by some miracle, we'll go undefeated at least for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So our plan is to start a little mini Let's Play series called Undefeated in Doom and see how many episodes we can make it. And at the start of every episode, by Lord willing, we'll make it past the first episode.
Yeah.
If we do, we'll start out every episode by showing our record, because, you know, these games keep stats nowadays. Show our record, prove that we're still undefeated, keep trudging, and see how long we can make it.
Yeah. I hope we can start off with the static rifle.
Me
if
too.
Not, I'm going to be scared.
Me too, because the static rifle is really... Yeah, we use the static rifle, and what's that shotgun called? The double barrel?
The double barrel.
Yeah, that was our deadly combo, and it worked.
Yeah.
So,
Especially since you guys are going to be kind of delayed at this point, since people are already playing it.
Yeah, I know.
Leveling
kind of makes me nervous.
Makes me really nervous.
Who knows,
whatever.
Maybe we're just really sick at it, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our little plan for Doom, but yeah, it's a good point. Doom and Overwatch will be fun to bounce in between, I think. Before we jump into the news, boys, there's one last thing I wanted to mention.
Okay.
Now, I know you guys mentioned a while back that Neo game that's coming out that's inspired by Dark Souls, kind of like the samurai-ish game. Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
Neo.
It's Neo?
Neo, yeah.
N-E-I-O-H.
It's N-I-O-H.
N-I-O-H, okay.
This is super random. I'll keep it brief, but I came across a video recently of comparing the Neo Alpha or Beta to Dark Souls.
I think I watched that same video.
Okay.
It might have been an IGN video.
Mine was from some smaller YouTuber.
Oh, I watched it from this guy named Terra Mantis.
That was mine, too. Is this little logo, like, green?
Yes.
Okay.
Like,
did you watch the whole
eyes.
Video?
Yeah.
Okay. I randomly came across... Are we subscribed to him? Is that why
I'm
you saw
I'm subscribed to him on my personal channel.
I think we might... Our channel might be subscribed to him.
I might have done
how.
That by accident. I don't know.
It doesn't matter to me. But I liked it, because I watched it, and he, like, did an amazing comparison, an in-depth look comparing the two.
Yeah.
And it, like, made me really want to play Neo when it comes out, because I had heard about it, but I hadn't seen anything, and watching it in action, and he compared the two and said why Neo could do this better, or Dark Souls could learn from Neo in this sense. Like, the way he compared them was just excellent, It made Neo look very cool. Have you seen stuff from it, Preston?
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks cool.
I mean, it looks very unforgiving. He said
it looks even more challenging than Dark Souls.
Yeah, that's what he kept saying. He proved it, too. It's like, when you die and do this, like, for example, in Bloodborne and Dark Souls, if you die, all your Estus Flax, or they come back, or your blood vials come back. Or, like, in Bloodborne, I remember you kept up, like, a stockpile. Whenever you ran out and died, like, your stockpile replenished them.
Yeah.
Well, in this game, say you have 10 health things, whatever they're called, Neo. Say you use like six of them on your way to the boss, and you fight and die you fight the boss, deplete all of them, then die. You spawn with zero, so you have to go grind and find like 10 more before you can fight the boss, and hope and pray you don't have to use any on your way to the boss again. And he said in that sense, Neo's unforgiving and annoying, because he says it throws off the pace of it being an action game, because like, say you're like in Dark Souls, if you fight a boss and you die, you just want to go right back and fight him. He says that's what's good, is that it keeps the pace going because it's an action game. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I'm kind of like, yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, that sounds annoying.
Yeah, he said he's hoping that maybe they'll adjust that before the game comes out. But overall, besides that, I thought it looked super cool, and I'm like heavily interested in Neo now. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like the combat looked very like RPG-esque. Like, more so than Dark Souls did. That looked really
cool. It did. Yeah, it looked very very in-depth in a very fun way. So I'm open to trying Neo for sure. I'm looking forward to seeing more from it. Boys, if you're ready for this, we got a bit of fun news this week. If you're ready to jump in and go for a ride with me, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Alrighty, boys, from our best friend, old Joe Screbbles of IGN, quote, Capcom's recent financial results include a mysterious reference to the company's plans for the Resident Evil series. Spotted by NeoGAF user Chobel, Capcom's most recent investor reports tease at a full-scale offensive for the Resident Evil series, possibly indicating the release of at least one more Resident Evil game, besides the upcoming Umbrella Corps, before the end of the financial year on March 31st, 2017. Quote, in the fiscal year ending March 31st, 2017, the company is scheduled to release Resident Evil Umbrella Corps for PlayStation 4 and PC of the Resident Evil series, which marked its 20th anniversary in March 2016 as a warm-up to the full-scale offensive planned for the second half of the year. End quote. Capcom is currently developing a full remake of Resident Evil 2. It also promised news on Resident Evil 7 late last year. Resident Evil Umbrella Corps will be released June 21st, just a week after E3. Mm-hmm. And I know that didn't they also mention they're remastering Resident Evil 4?
And 5.
And 5. Wow, they're right about that full-scale offensive.
Yeah.
Boys, I'm not heavily invested in Resident Evil. You've played a lot more of them than I have. Mm-hmm. Does this sound cool to you?
The Umbrella Corps looks dumb.
Okay, I don't know anything about it.
It's really bad. It's like the most mediocre third-person shooter.
That aside, do you think... I can't remember if it's a new IP that's coming out that's inspired by Resident Evil, or the next Resident Evil in the series is supposed to go back to its horror roots. I think that's what I read.
I hope so.
That sounds cool to me.
Yeah. If that's the case, then I'm excited. I mean, we've been playing through 6. We haven't played in a while.
Right.
But
we've had fun with it.
Yeah, 6 is awesome. It's fun to play with somebody. By yourself, it gets kind of boring, but it's fun. 5 is a fun co-op game. 4 is one of the best games I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely my favorite horror game ever. I highly recommend when that comes out for y'all to pick it up.
I 100%
it comes out in October,
will.
I recommend it to you.
Is that confirmed
scary
for October?
I think so.
Man, we got a big October this year.
It's scary, but it's not like so scary you can't play it.
Mm-hmm.
By any means. It just has a few little freaky things in it, but just gameplay wise.
A few little freaky things.
Yeah. It's just great. I love that game to death. It's so freaking good.
It's cool.
So it's definitely one of my favorite games of all time, hands down. And I really liked it because it felt like survival horror, whereas 5 and 6 were just very action-oriented, which is, they're fun to play with friends, but I definitely want an experience more true to, like, the fourth game. So
definitely.
If that's the case, then yes. But we have The Evil Within as well.
I forgot about that.
Which is the same guy that directed 4,
uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure, made that game. So
I totally forgot about that.
I can go to that, but I hope Resident Evil kind of goes back to the style of 4 as well. Which I haven't played that game either, which I probably like it. But
yeah, I totally forgot that exists.
I never even played it.
Maybe I'll do that one day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, boys, from Wesley Copeland of IGN. Quote, Pokemon Sun and Moon will be released on November 18th in the U.S. and November 23rd in the U.K. Careful over there. That cap's dangerous.
I know.
Also revealed were two retrospective box arts, each of which gives us a look at the two of Sun and Moon's legendary Pokemon. The new gameplay trailer released today also confirmed the game's starter Pokemon in new region. Alola? Is that how you pronounce that?
Aloha. Is it not Aloha?
It says Alola, A-L-O-L-A.
I always like glanced at it and thought it was Aloha.
I think it's Alola. Okay. It looks like Aloha at first glance, though, you're right. The games will take place in. Pokemon Sun and Moon was announced back in February, and while details are sparse at the moment, can you pronounce that both ways, sparse or sparse?
Yeah, I say sparse.
I kind of like to say sparse. I like the R in there, sparse.
Yeah.
I'll say sparse if you want me to.
Okay.
That's what I said originally. Where was I? Yeah, while details are sparse at the moment, you can expect more from the world of Pokemon to be revealed at upcoming E3 2016.
Did you guys see the starter Pokemon?
I did. They're cute little guys.
They look cute.
Yeah. I can't remember their names off the top of my head.
The owl man. Yeah. It's Catlitty.
Litten. Yeah. That's what it is, yeah.
That's pretty creative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's lit sun. Litten.
Yeah. Totally, man. Totally.
And cats use litter boxes.
Yeah. Are these exclusively for 3DS?
Probably.
The games?
Yeah.
And 2DS.
Yeah.
And 2DS? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Jacob, are you going to purchase 2DS or 3DS to play these?
I'd like to. I don't know if I will for sure.
I'm not.
I don't know
you
if I will
have
either.
A 2DS, so.
I know, and I'm still not.
I'm interested by it. Yeah. I've always wanted to play through an entire Pokemon game. I'm
Pokemon'd out. I played X and Y, and I was like psyched for it. And I got halfway through it, and my entire like part of my brain that liked Pokemon just like shut off, and I like literally don't care anymore.
That's weird.
I know.
Man, that kind of makes me sad. I hope that never happens to anything.
If it happens on the NX, that's the thing. I wasn't a huge fan.
Yeah, it wasn't like a huge fan.
I mean, I liked Pokemon. I respect Pokemon, and I played the crap out of it as a kid. But if they do like a full-on console Pokemon with like online and stuff on like the NX or something, I'm definitely up for that.
Yeah, what if they just put it on the NX? That'd be so awesome.
I don't know.
That would be cool.
They need like everybody's been saying since the dawn of time, a Pokemon MMO would be great.
It would.
Yeah. So, I'd play that.
It like writes itself, essentially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. We'll hope for the very best one day. I've always thought, I know we've stated this before, Harry Potter RPG would be amazing too.
Based on the world of Harry Potter,
yeah. Moving on, boys. Quote from Matt Porter of IGN. Our next piece of news regarding Mass Effect Andromeda will be coming at EA Play event on June 12th. EA Play is essentially replacing EA's old press conference and booth at E3, and instead fans will be invited to play games at the free event from June 12th through the 14th. Aaron Flynn, general manager of BioWare, also confirmed we won't be seeing Mass Effect Andromeda until early 2017, saying, quote, "We need the right amount of time to make sure we deliver everything the game can and should be." This confirms that EA's CFO, Blake Jorgensen, already said what he already said back in March about the delay. Flynn says the new game, players will be given an unprecedented level of freedom for a Mass Effect experience, and it will be the first game in the series built on the Frostbite engine, end quote.
Frostbite.
First thing I gotta say, Mass Effect aside, is that is this confirmed that EA is not having an actual stage conference this year? Because that's what it sounds like.
They already said that they
did
weren't.
They? Because I was totally unaware of that, and I was like, that sucks, because I love the conferences.
Their conference is never good.
The conferences are horrible. Yeah.
That's true. It's mostly just sports and
it's
stuff.
It's like half of it's FIFA and
like,
Madden.
Let's get Scoots Mahalahe up here. He played soccer back in the 20s.
Yeah.
He like wobbles.
He can barely speak.
They have like a 20-minute interview with him.
That is true. I forgot about that last year.
And
My
then
goodness.
They like tried to like show transparency in their the way they're making games and like show you an inside of like the studio, but they don't show you any games at all.
Right.
But EA's got some stuff coming up. Like, I don't know if we're talking about it later on, but they've got Titanfall coming out later this year.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Mirror's Edge coming out. They already confirmed there's a Battlefront 2 sequel coming out like next year. I mean, EA's
they're
got
working
a bunch
on another
of stuff,
Star Wars
so,
game too.
Yeah,
Respawn.
That's gonna be out in probably a long time.
Yeah. Yep.
But and they got that action game they said that's gonna be coming out like 2020 or something.
Yeah, they're
so,
on top of things.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. They're not going to have a conference because, I mean, they could show a ton of that stuff.
Maybe they'll kind of branch it out to Microsoft and Sony's conferences or something.
Yeah, like, yeah, I wonder if they'll, like, show Titanfall on the Xbox conference or something with, like, extra content or something. That wouldn't
Maybe.
Surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll see. Regardless, I'm excited for E3. Mm-hmm. From Joe Screbbles, our best friend, IGN, quote, "The next and final expansion for Witcher 3 Blood and Wine is, quote, a graphics upgrade from the base game," end quote. In an interview with Eurogamer, senior environment artist Lynn De Gracia explained that Blood and Wine uses new display methods and optimizations. Wow, I've never heard that word before. Optimizations. Optimizing. I guess I've just heard optimize, but optimizations.
Yeah.
Rolls off the tongue nicely. to look better than the core experience, quote, we just wanted to show that we can actually push it to the limit this time, end quote. It's like a fresh development. Blood and Wine, we literally started from scratch. That includes using up to 90% new environmental assets and employing different lighting, giving Toussaint the distinct southern French feel we noticed in our hands-on. Not only will it look better, it should run better. The core game suffered a graphical downgrade during development and was subject to some huge performance-related patches after release. Blood and Wine should fare differently. De Gracia explains that some of the studio's work has been on improving how the game draws textures, which should mean the game hits a solid 30 frames per second on consoles from release. Quote, we are still aiming for that, but for the most part, we have already hit it, end quote, said De Gracia. In certain places, we still need to run through stuff and try to optimize it the best way we can, but in comparison to Witcher 3, production has been way smoother. That sounds so awesome.
I know.
Certainly. I am so excited for that.
Me too.
I might be slightly more excited for that than Far Harbor.
I am. Oh. I without a doubt am.
I mean, I'm still super excited for Far Harbor because I just love Fallout to death.
Mm-hmm.
But just hearing all that stuff is just making me slightly more excited.
No wonder it's taking so long to come out.
Yeah, straight from scratch, man. That's great.
Yeah.
Those developers are just awesome. It's like, as far as my favorite developers go, it's got to be Naughty Dog and then CD Projekt Red for sure. Because especially just ever since release of Witcher 3, it's been nothing but greatness from those guys. Yeah. And we're still talking about Witcher to this day. Yeah. And the fact that we're this excited for the final expansion is awesome.
Yeah.
And to read that they're doing it from scratch and it's going to run better and look better is just so exciting. And it's easy to believe that as well. Because, for example, Kaer Morhen or whatever it was, like the Witcher school in Witcher 3.
School of the Wolf.
Yeah, obviously graphically was, I mean, the whole game's beautiful, but specifically that area always blew my mind how good it looked because it's a smaller, more condensed area. So it's no doubt that, obviously this is a big area as well, but they've said that not only is it developed from scratch, but it's probably a little smaller than the main game, obviously. It's going to, no doubt, just look breathtaking.
Yeah.
And just, I'll never forget when we took a break from Witcher for a while and I jumped in and played whatever DLC was before this.
Hearts of Stone.
I forgot just how beautiful it is to like be standing in a field and to see trees blowing and like sunlight coming through them. I was like, this game is so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped to play the DLC.
Me too.
I know. So excited.
It's going to be sad when it's all said and done.
I know. But then we just got to look forward to Cyberpunk.
Yeah. And the inevitable Witcher 4.
Yeah. I certainly hope that's the case because, like we said,
they got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it was so successful. Why would you not?
Yeah.
But yeah, moving on, boys. Matt Porter of IGN, quote, Hideo Kojima has given a few snippets of information about what his first game since leaving Konami will be. I don't like the way that sentence is crafted. Continuing on, in an interview with Famitsu via Hachima, this is a lot of crazy Japanese words. I'm sorry. With a translation from Siliconera, my goodness, Kojima says, quote, I won't say that it's an open world title, but those that enjoy playing today's AAA titles such as The Division and Uncharted will be able to play it smoothly, end quote. When it gets announced, some may think that it's not as way out as they expected, but I'm sure they'll understand once they play it. The genre is action. Kojima was also very cagey about the logo of his new studio, Kojima Productions. Quote, I can't say yet, but the secret is found in the logo. IGN spoke to Kojima at DICE this year, and he explained why he hopes to keep the new studio small. The Metal Gear Solid creator was also asked about VR. Kojima has expressed interest in VR previously and says he'd like to make something for it, but we don't have anyone. I believe VR holds a key to game development. End quote. So, it's out of the woodworks now. His next game's a AAA action title.
Mm-hmm.
I love Metal Gear Solid 5. I still love it. I think just before what came out, Dark Souls came out, I was working on S-ranking all the missions in that game, and I forgot just how good that game is.
Yeah.
I know we've all said, like, oh, at one point we all got burnt out from it, but jumping back into it and playing it after not playing for months and just trying to S-rank on the missions was fun, and that game has developed so well. And that, I mean, even though that's primarily a stealth game, there's some action in it that's great. And to know that he's working on a AAA action title is exciting to me. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I really dig Hideo Kojima. I like his crazy stories and stuff, and
yes.
I think this is going to be pretty sweet. And I remember it's only on PlayStation and PC, I think,
as
well. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see something at like PSX or something.
That'd be awesome.
Year. Because he said it's not as far out as you would think.
Right.
So I'm sure that before he left, he'd been kind of with his team kind of throwing around some ideas and stuff, low key.
Definitely.
So
some low key ideas.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. What do you think, Jacob?
I mean, yeah, just agree with what you guys said. I don't really have anything to add.
Mostly just fun news we're hearing about stuff that's coming our way. It always feels
he's probably lying, and it's like Silent Mound or something. Like he had to change the name, and it's like the Silent Hills game.
Yeah.
But he changed the name.
Silent Mound.
Yeah.
Silent Slope.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, that's exciting. Continuing on, boys, from Seth Macy of IGN, quote, this is a statement from Disney.
Okay.
After a thorough evaluation, we have modified our approach to console gaming and will transition exclusively into a licensing model. This shift in strategy means we will cease production of Disney Infinity, where the lack of growth in the toys-to-life market, coupled with high development costs, has created a challenging business model. This means that we will be shutting down Avalanche, our internal studio that developed the game. This was a difficult decision that we did not take lightly given the quality of Disney Infinity and its many passionate fans. End quote. That was from Disney. This is from Macy. Disney announced its canceling of the Infinity line and is getting out of business of self-publishing games altogether. A charge of $147 million, quote, in connection with the discontinuation, end quote, of Disney's console game business affected in the company's earnings. Disney released a statement regarding the series discontinuation, promising two more upcoming sets, including three new characters from Alice Through the Looking Glass, as well as a Finding Dory playset in June. Earlier, Disney announced it wouldn't be at E3 this June. At the beginning of March, it laid out its long-term plans for the Infinity franchise, announcing there would be no Disney Infinity 4.0 this year. Disney Infinity has the most popular Toys to Life brand coming in 2016, beating out Skylanders and Lego Dimensions thanks to the popularity of Star Wars, end quote. I thought this was sad news. I've never once played Disney Infinity. I haven't had interest, but I always find it sad to see something end that has fans that like it and care
and
about it.
And people that have jobs as well.
So many people are losing jobs.
Yeah, it sucks.
So I'm sure there'll be companies look at this and they kind of grab them.
They work for Disney, so I mean.
Yeah, but then again, I guess it's kind of cool to see that Disney is just going to purely, you know, throw out the licensing for their game so they can get some other developers to make some good games and
we'll
stuff.
Get someone besides EA to make a game.
That'd be great. I don't have anything against EA.
Yeah, nothing wrong with EA.
But
I mean, they're just no longer using, I think, Disney Interactive Studios as a whole. They're just not self-publishing games anymore. Right. So they're just going to, you know, let other people use it. And yeah, they're kind of with EA right now with the Star Wars franchise. But even if it still goes to EA, EA's got talented game developers and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, nothing against EA.
No, they,
then again, I don't think Disney is really going to self-publish anything like massive anyways. Like, they're not doing Star Wars. I highly doubt they're gonna do I mean, if they were smart, they need to, which Disney obviously is smart, they need to get a high quality game developer and start pumping out some Marvel games.
I hope so. So bad,
you know, Avengers, etc. I don't think they can do Spider-Man because, like, I was,
they're kind of at a weird middle ground with that.
I have no idea what's going on with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would totally play a Captain America game.
Play an Iron Man game
or that
in an instant.
Which the last Captain America game I played, developed by Sega, I think,
you said it was good,
was actually really good.
Yep.
I liked it a lot. It was totally,
you're not the only person I've heard say that.
Yeah, it was totally an Arkham knockoff, but it was super fun. Like, I was so surprised by how good it was. So yeah,
that's cool.
Start making some games like that. Be awesome.
I'm open to it for sure. Guys, speaking of Disney and Star Wars and EA, quote from Seth Macy of IGN, EA confirmed the sequel to Star Wars Battlefront will be part of its lineup next year. Another Star Wars game developed by Visceral and Motive will release most likely the following year, putting a tentative 2018 release window on the unnamed game. The next Star Wars Battlefront game will have bigger and better worlds, according to EA. The bigger worlds are credited to having a new movies to work off of rather than the historical movies in the current Star Wars Battlefront game. In 2018, a Star Wars action game, quote, part of the Motive team is working on. Yeah, part of the Motive team is working on. Along with the team from Visceral is scheduled, but EA says it expects to release at least one Star Wars game per year over the next 3 to 4 years. EA also mentioned working with its partners at Respawn and another Star Wars game. They're very excited about that. EA believes Respawn could add a huge amount to the new Star Wars game, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
This was all really exciting news.
Yeah.
One, to have a new Star Wars game for the next 3 to 4 years. Obviously, I'm excited for Respawn's. I always forget the lady's name who was once at Naughty Dog. What's her name?
Oh, Amy something.
Yeah, who's working on that third-person action Star Wars game that we've yet to hear anything
Amy
from.
Amy Henning.
That's who it is. I'm excited to hear about that. Obviously, everyone's worried about Star Wars being milked, but as of right now, we're in a good spot because everything that's coming out is still great.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Lego Star Wars.
I don't care if they milk it. The people that complain about it being milked is that it gets stale. But if they have that many different developers making it, and they're all going to be different experiences, like Battlefront, you know, multiplayer shooter, Amy Hennig's game, an adventure game or something. So they're not like Battlefront every single year, you know.
Plus,
so,
we got the Lego one that's coming out this summer.
Yeah. I'm really excited
about
that.
Just super different experiences. So, yeah, sure.
Very exciting.
Milk them all you can if they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, Battlefront, as far as marketing it goes, will obviously be coming out around the time that episode 8 comes out.
Does it say anything about single player?
Does not yet.
Okay. So they'd be just out of their mind.
They've got to put a single player in Battlefront.
Yeah. Now, they've only had 2 years. To develop the sequel, which I think with what they start, if they're starting with Battlefront as how it is, I feel like that's an excellent starting point.
Yeah.
Add a story, make the campaign, and expand upon the multiplayer bit. It can't be that hard.
Like crazy on the multiplayer.
Yeah.
Because I swear, the second time I saw The Force Awakens, I was just such in a Star Wars mood. I went and bought Battlefront, played it for 4 hours, and have not touched it since.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't touched it since the day it came out.
I got the deluxe edition, and it gave me the best gun in the game.
Yeah.
Why would I play it? Right.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing.
And it's fun, but it's not, like, so fun for me to just be like, oh, I gotta keep going back to this.
I've heard they've added some updates that have made it a little better, like the Jabba contracts or something.
There's, like, maps and stuff and heroes?
Yeah, there's maps. There's a few new heroes. Mm-hmm. Not, like, significant heroes. They're sticking to the old movies, so...
I mean, they've said bigger and better world, which
is
cool, but...
And I think the next one is going to include the new stuff.
Yeah, if Kylo Ren's in the next one, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
That's
enough
for me.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's more... I'm sure that we'll hear a lot more when the time comes, but...
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's more than just bigger and better worlds from the new movies. I hope gameplay is adjusted a bit, like, maybe add a ranking system... I mean, we could come up with 100 things that would make it more engaging and more grabbing to make us want to continue playing it. But obviously, a campaign is huge because the gameplay is fun, minus the lack of interesting content in it. As far as the shooting goes, it feels fun. So a campaign would be great. Mm-hmm. I think way while back, and several episodes ago, we discussed what we'd like to see in a sequel, so we don't have to talk about that a lot. But main things, like we said, me personally, I know everyone says this is kind of like... just beaten with senseless at this point, but space battles would be cool. Yeah. I know people have made jokes. It's like, we got space battles in Ratchet and Clank before we did in Battlefront, which is funny. But that would be cool, but mostly, I think from all of our ends, we've said that a campaign would be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, Star Wars, man.
It's a necessity for me. If they want my money, they have to have a campaign.
Oh, I feel you.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. I'll buy it just because what's the thing? I probably will, but like I bought Battlefront. Like I said, I haven't played it since the day it came out.
I did not get my money's worth with that game.
I did not either. So, now,
I think I did.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
We won't deny that, but as far as gameplay is concerned, didn't keep our attention very long.
Nope.
Trudging on, boys, from Joe Screbbles. Never get tired of saying that name. Quote, a French video games distributor appears to have revealed the rumored PS4 mid-generation upgrade will be released by September. In a press release posted by Borzier, Intellect Multimedia states that what it calls the Neo 4K, lining up with the previous reports about the console's codename, will be released in the first half of the fiscal year. That's a date range of April to September 2016. This will place the console's release ahead of PlayStation VR in October. Previous reports have indicated that the console will officially be announced before the release of PSVR. Neo will supposedly be a new version of PS4 with higher clock speed, improved GPU, higher memory bandwidth, and will support 4K image output. Games released after Neo can include Neo mode, which improves performance, but all games will be required to work on the original model, end quote. How true do you think this theory
is?
There's
been so many leaks. That
I'm
just
so sick of talking about
stuff.
This.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to come in. They're going to announce it in E3, and it's going to be coming out. I mean, the release date, maybe, I don't know, but the thing exists.
It's happening.
And if it coincides with what you said, like Neo mode, and it works with regular, then I think it's fine. I'll buy it day one.
Me too.
So,
exciting.
Yeah. I just want to know what it is, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of speculating. I just want to know what it is.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. If they say Neo comes out this day and you can play, and Bethesda comes out and says we're going to release a patch and Fallout 4 is going to run at a super solid frame rate right there, that has me sold right there.
Yeah, seriously.
So,
frame rate's huge for me. Just the, just the way games run. Like, graphics are one thing, but if a game just ran really smoothly,
Down. Like Uncharted 4, story mode's running at 60 frames now and stuff. Like, okay, that sounds sick.
Yeah, definitely.
Not that I care. I mean, if it's locked, I don't give a crap, because Uncharted 4 at 30 frames is fine. Anybody that's so ignorant to say, like, I was reading some comments on the IGN review, and one comment was like, I left at when you said 30 frames. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Get over it. Like, a steady locked game is fine.
Uncharted feels silky smooth at 30 frames.
It does. It's amazing. But, like, when you have the comparison, like, in The Last of Us to The Last of Us Remastered, and you can change the frame rates, you're like, oh, okay, 60 definitely is better. But at the time when you're playing it, nobody, every single review from Uncharted, not one person has said, oh, 30 frames is, like, you know, made this experience worse. Like,
right,
get over it. If the frame rate's locked, it's fine, but it's gonna, it will be super nice to have the option with the Neo to do a higher frame rate.
I agree wholeheartedly. Moving on, boys, from Eddie Mackick of GameSpot. Quote, during an earnings call, Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot shared some new details on the upcoming Watch Dogs sequel. First, the executive teased that Watch Dogs 2 will, quote, have a new tone, though he didn't expand on that point. On the subject of sales, Guillemot did not offer any specific projections, though he did said, though he said that the game has potential to be one of, has the potential to be one of Ubisoft's best-selling games of all time.
What?
It's a bold statement.
That's very bold.
Yeah. I mean, Watch Dogs sold well.
He did. Yeah, it did. He also referenced the game as being its best-selling title of the fiscal year 2017, which would put it ahead of Ghost Recon Wildlands, South Park, The Fractured But Whole, For Honor, and an unannounced AAA new IP.
Well,
and
the Assassin's Creed game is coming out in 2017.
It is.
Yeah. So they're saying it's going to sell better than that?
Apparently.
Dang.
In addition, Guillemot said the Watch Dogs 2 will have new, innovative gameplay, but again, he did not share any further specifics on this front.
And Watch Dogs 2 is going to be legit.
I think it will be too.
It's going to be really good.
But it's going to suffer from its last game, I feel like.
I don't think so. I think people are going to be more excited because of all the improvements that are going to be said. Because the first one had a lot of controversy around it with the downgrade. And, you know, I thought it was a solid game. I liked it.
I
enjoyed the stealth in it and stuff. So it's kind of the Assassin's Creed 1 jump to Assassin's Creed 2 kind of deal going on here, where the first one had a decent base game, but the second one just needs to expand upon it and make it, like, really cool. So I have a feeling that people are gonna, you know, see that in terms with this game. So I think it'll do well.
Definitely. So, I like what he said, that it'll have a new tone as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that already confirms that it's gonna be more lighthearted.
Yeah, I hope it's more lighthearted, because the main character sucked in the first one. Aiden Pierce, he was the biggest douchebag ever, just like murdering people relentlessly. And there was
always so monotone and like, I don't remember a single thing he said, but we talked about it a bit last week.
Stupid outfit he wore. Like, I didn't even think he looked cool in that.
I thought he did.
He just stuck out like a sore thumb.
Well, we did say that. Like,
his hands were huge too, for that annoying. His hands were massive.
Yeah, just to show, I guess, his phone in his hand. I said that even though I thought his outfit was stylish looking and kind of cool, but there's no denying the fact he stood out like a sore thumb. Like, he looks like the most conspicuous guy in the street at all times, just because of the coat and the hat and everything.
He looks like he was like from the year like 2050, and everybody's wearing like t-shirts and pants around him, and he's like wearing this space age like trench coat.
Remember when we tried to play the multiplayer in that game, and it like was rough?
That was the worst free roam ever. There was nothing to do.
I know.
And the police wouldn't even come to you. Yeah. We held up in like a store and like killed 80 civilians, and like three cops showed up. So, and we were all Aiden Pierce too, running around as the same guy. So dumb.
Didn't you try playing that with Andy for a while?
I think so, yeah. We did some, the races were kind of fun. I mean, they're not like GTA 5.
I just thought they were a little too laggy.
Yeah. It was so laggy.
GTA 5 was just a better game.
Way better.
That's the best comparison.
Infinitely better. Yeah.
So much better. I liked Watch Dogs, though. I'm excited for the sequel.
I do hope that the next
single player.
Yeah, I hope the next one's good. So
yeah, I'm sure it will be.
Only hope.
I have high confidence that it's going
to
be good.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Do you think we'll hear anything about it at E3 this year?
Yeah.
It's exciting. I feel like it's definitely about time.
For sure.
Awesome.
Did they say it might come out this year? Because that wouldn't surprise me at all. They don't have an Assassin's Creed coming out this year.
That would make total sense.
So,
I mean, they got Titanfall 2. That's about it, I guess.
What?
And
we're talking about Ubisoft.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wrong company.
Well, that would make total sense.
Yeah.
And it'd be great for it, too,
Ubisoft
to announce
have
it.
Coming out? I mean, they typically have Assassin's Creed to lie back on. I don't know anything.
Technically,
Ubisoft's
they have
doing.
The movie coming out for Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. Which looks cool. The trailer.
It does. Awesome. It's actually almost perfect timing. We might as well jump into that now because we have that's it for gaming news this week. Okay. We have a little bit of movie news. Let's talk about that Assassin's Creed trailer.
Okay.
Jacob, I want to hear your thoughts.
I just want to say that I'm kind of offended that Zach Bynum tagged everybody but me in the trailer thing, and I'm a bigger Assassin's Creed fan than both of you.
Yeah, probably.
So,
I mean, he never tags me in any Star Wars stuff, so okay. I don't really take
I just
any.
Want to say, Zach, I'm offended. Yeah. We would have heart-to-heart Assassin's Creed conversations, and you just leave me out of your tagging.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Man, I always just see it because I see what other people are tagged in.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even get on Facebook that much. I don't know why he uses Facebook so much now. He used to, like, hate Facebook.
He's on it now because I think a lot of the people, he's in a lot of groups for, like, his work now, right, yeah, that he's just on there a lot
anyways,
more.
I saw it on the YouTube trending thing, and I was like, this looks cool, and I was surprised that it was cool.
Yeah.
So,
I don't care about this at all, but did you guys care about the song choice in the trailer like
no,
everyone
Kanye
else did?
West was stupid, but I didn't care.
Yeah, I didn't care either. Cool. It didn't ruin the trailer for me, but I thought, as silly as I thought that was, like
I wanted like the Witcher fight music going on.
I hope that's that kind of music's actually in the movie.
Mm-hmm. What if,
I assume
like,
it will
the
be.
First Leap of Faith, you have like Kanye West going off. Like,
yeah. Oh, gosh, I hope they don't do that.
Oh, man.
But I was actually really, not to say that I shouldn't have faith in Ubisoft as far as their movie involvement or anything, but it does look pretty cool.
It does. Did y'all see the Prince of Persia movie?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't think it was too bad.
That strayed from the original story a bit.
And the chick was ridiculous.
And it was whitewashed.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me at all because I thought that movie was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I'm still amazed that Michael Fassbender signed on to this movie. Because if you think about it, it sounds so risky. It's like, what video game movie has been good or well-received? And that's the first thing.
I hope this is one if Warcraft fails and this is truly it.
Yeah, it is. But it does look cool. The action looks cool. It looks...
I just want to see the leap of faith.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be just such a cool moment in the movie theater.
I like how they're taking on a new assassin. They're not like...
Oh, yeah. I do like how it's an original assassin in this one. What do you guys think of the Animus?
They're like, looks awesome, that too. Like, that machine, that's really cool.
It is.
I don't know. It's like he can move in it, actually.
It's like he has a space to do his stuff.
So that's really cool.
It's almost like VR, man.
Yeah, dude. It's the most intense VR thing ever.
Yeah.
Imagine if that's like what VR becomes.
What if you could pay $6,000 to buy the Assassin's Creed VR from the movie? You wear a PlayStation VR and have the machine.
That'd be awesome.
But yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah,
I hope it does well, and I hope for Michael Fassbender's sake, especially because not only is he a very talented actor, but for the sake of his reputation, I don't think it would tarnish it because he's so good that like people would forget about this. But,
I want there to be actual like stealth assassinations. I don't want. I mean, yeah, there's going to be fighting and stuff, but I want them to like really show like some really creative assassinations and stuff, like blending in with the crowd and like popping out and stuff. So
yeah, there no doubt will be.
I mean, they got to balance that with action because you know it's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, some cool like parkour, stealth kills and stuff.
Absolutely,
be cool.
Yeah, it looks cool. I'm excited for it for sure. Coming out this November, right?
December,
that's right.
I think it's
21st.
December.
Yeah,
21st.
Yeah. Cool, that was supposed to be the end of the world in 2012.
Yeah.
Turns out I wasn't. We're still here.
We're still here, unfortunately.
Awesome.
I feel like sometimes this world should burn.
Yeah.
But anyways, is there anything else? What a way to end.
Yeah. There's a couple more things.
Okay.
This was already floating around. It was pretty much confirmed, but not confirmed. But now it is officially confirmed that Wolverine 3 is officially rated R, which is cool. Which I think is so funny because months ago we were talking about, when they announced Deadpool's going to be rated R, we're like, Wolverine would be great in rated R. But I stated that in an interview multiple times, Hugh Jackman was like, don't want to make Wolverine rated R for the sake of the kids because the kids love Wolverine.
Yeah, the kids is a good role model.
Yeah. But obviously they're like, wow, Deadpool is wildly successful. One, because people love the character. And two, the R rating supported the, source material of the character.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Wolverine is definitely, that's not just like some people wanting to make like, let's make the Flash R-rated.
Yeah.
That's dumb. Like Wolverine R-rated, okay.
He's one of the most vicious like superheroes. So.
He has a freaking claw. Yeah. Like, what are you gonna do? You gotta be slicing dudes up and
stuff. Imagine what they can do now. Yeah. Like, it makes me so
I just watched Deadpool 2 nights ago. I went and bought it on Blu-ray and watched it again, and I love that movie to death. And just the violence in that, like imagine Hugh Jackman just going ape shit. Like, that'd be amazing.
I wonder if they'll go nuts and have Deadpool have a cameo in it.
Just a
cameo
in it? Holy crap, they have to do that.
If they do that, like, it'll be huge, even if it's for like 10 seconds. So.
That comment Deadpool makes about Hugh Jackman's balls, and he says it in the Australian accent, is just like the funniest thing ever. I forgot exactly what he says. It was like the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, I want to watch that again for sure.
Especially with, I was looking at stuff too. Deadpool was the highest grossing R-rated film of all time. It made more money than Batman vs. Superman. It made more money than every single X-Men movie ever.
Yeah.
So like, that it proves right there that people thought that would like restrict people from seeing it. That's dead wrong.
Yeah.
So this is definitely going to be hopefully something that people aren't just going to like think like, oh, superhero movie, slap an R on it, immediate success. Like you got to be, you got
to. It still has to be a good movie.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So I can't imagine a Deadpool PG-13. Well, actually, I can. It's called X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah. We all saw that one. Yeah.
So
that's funny. Yeah, sticking in Marvel for a minute, it was also confirmed that Infinity War will not divide the team of Avengers that they that have been chosen for these movies. It won't be like, here's half of them in this movie, and the second half, here's the other. Apparently,
you mean like in Civil War, where it broke them up?
Yeah. Okay. Well, it also meant like in part one and two of Infinity War, which will be retitled, obviously.
Yeah.
It won't be like a chunk of Avengers here and then a chunk of Avengers there.
It's
it'll be
them all.
Yeah, it'll be all of them in both parts, which is cool. And I have a lot of faith for Infinity War. One, because the Russo brothers are obviously, I think, probably the best directors in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They've proven it with Winter Soldier and Civil War now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Infinity War is a whole nother beast entirely.
I keep thinking you're saying Infinity Ward.
Infinity Ward, yeah. The game studio.
What does Call of Duty have to do
with this?
What is the connection?
I have a lot of faith in the Russo brothers, and I think they're going to do a phenomenal job with Infinity War Part 1 and 2, whatever they decide to name them.
That's a long way out.
It is. It's 2018 and 19. Is that what it is?
Oh, man.
I think it's 18 and 19.
Is it 1 year apart? I thought there was a year or 2 years between them.
I think it's 1 year apart. I think... Okay.
I know there's a movie between them. The Ant-Man and Wasp is between
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Thor Ragnarok.
Well, Doctor Strange is coming out next.
Yeah, it comes out this November.
Yeah, but I think in between Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, it comes out in between Infinity War Part 1 and 2?
Yes.
That'll be interesting because it's going to be taking place in between that war. So what's going to be going on?
It's not titled Infinity War. They said that.
Right.
They're renaming it.
It's going to be like, what's the world going to be like when in the new Ant-Man movie?
I think I read from one source. I don't know if this may have been a rumor that someone's like, it's true, but apparently Star-Lord is going to be from Guardians of the Galaxy.
I heard that as well.
Is going to be in it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I can imagine him talking to like Tony Stark and stuff would just be awesome.
And Spider-Man's going to be there, too.
And Spider-Man Homecoming's next summer.
Mm.
So
I'm so excited
so pumped.
When's Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
That's next summer as well.
Both of those in the summer.
They've done that before. I think last summer it was, what was it? There were two Marvel movies.
Ant-Man.
It was Ant-Man and something else. I can't remember what it was.
It was Avengers.
That's what it was.
Ah.
Yes. Avengers 2 and then Ant-Man came out.
I feel
out.
Ant-Man was lesser.
You haven't seen Ant-Man, have you?
I haven't.
Okay.
That's awesome.
I guess I have no right to say Ant-Man was a lesser movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not as important, I feel, as everyone else.
It did. I mean, it surprised people. I mean, I knew it was going to be good.
That's what I love is that it was a smaller story.
Yeah. And I didn't actually know what it was about. Mm-hmm. So that's always good. That's why I'm excited to see Doctor Strange.
It's the only Marvel movie that I haven't seen is Ant-Man, so I should probably watch it.
I haven't seen any of the Thors.
Really? None?
Thor
I really
does
like
not
Thor.
Interest me.
I really like Thor.
All.
He doesn't interest me either, but I saw him just because they're in the series.
Yeah, I probably need to, but he just like...
Hulk's going to be in his next movie.
Well, I mean, that'll probably make me sick.
That makes it even better.
And that title's awesome, Ragnarok.
It is cool.
That sounds cool. So
for sure.
I like that.
Lastly, all I had, Jacob, this kind of relates to you and me more than Preston, I would say, but the CW is officially accepting Supergirl into their TV network. Supergirl is moving over to the CW. How exciting
is
that?
CBS.
Yeah.
From the CBS.
Was it CBS or like Fox or something?
The CBS.
Okay.
I think.
Or was it ABC?
No, it's not ABC. It might have been NBC?
I think it was CBS. It was CBS.
Mm-hmm. This officially means
I know CBS is like a part owner in the CW.
CW.
So
okay. That's got to be it. Okay.
Yeah, so she's officially moving over to the
it makes sense.
The TV universe for DC on CW, which I think is cool, which now means that I have to watch season 1 of Supergirl.
Or Superman.
Not necessarily.
Well, I have to because I watch all the other shows and I'm all caught up and I want to be able to say, like, I've seen all of them and I know how they all tie together and, like, I know why the tie-ins and, like, the crossovers make sense.
Yeah.
And the only reason I haven't already watched Supergirl, which I am interested in it, the only reason I haven't watched it because it wasn't fully part of it. And then Flash obviously came over to her show for one episode and apparently it was really awesome.
Yeah, that was, like, the most popular episode by far.
And I'm sure that's why they're like, all right, let's bring her over to the CW, which is cool because they kind of literally have, like, a mini Justice League on TV.
They do. They have three different superheroes. Shows.
Yeah, which is there awesome.
Four?
Yeah, Legends of Tomorrow is technically one.
Now what are the other three besides Arrow and Flash?
Arrow, so Flash, like Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow.
Well, I didn't mean like now Supergirl's joining.
Yeah, so that's true. Then. This is what I mean. Have you guys smelled this candle the whole time?
Yeah.
It smells good. Ladies and gentlemen, we forgot to mention we're rocking the vanilla snowflake candle this evening. The baby blue color. I guess that's more of a turquoise color. It has sparkles on it. It smells so good.
It does.
It's very pleasant.
Nice.
But yeah, I have to watch Supergirl now, so that's that.
Yeah, I'll watch. Hopefully it's on Netflix. I'm sure it will be.
It will be, for
all
sure.
All the other shows are.
Yeah. But yeah, that's news-wise. That's all I had this week. Is there anything you wanted to add at all? In person, I mean, we haven't seen you in a couple weeks now.
Well, I was here not last week, but the week before.
That's true. But even then, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Is life treating you well?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine.
I missed you to bits.
Oh, have you?
When we go like almost a week without talking, I just feel weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, this doesn't feel right.
I know,
I don't like
wrong.
It. I don't like it at all.
It's okay.
I kid you not.
We'll have to
you guys
FaceTime
can kiss.
And stuff.
Yeah, we'll kiss after the
on
podcast.
Oh.
Yeah. I, what?
No, nothing.
Okay.
It's fine.
I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah.
I love my new job. I'm very thankful for it, but I kid you not, at least once a week, I'll just be sitting there doing something. It's like, I miss the boys.
Yeah.
I miss traveling with the boys and installing some cable.
We miss you as well. We talk a lot of crap about you.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, no, you're great.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
But, no, I do miss you guys quite frequently. So
I miss you too. This job would be fun with you.
Oh, I'm sure it would be. I miss specifically hanging out with like you and Paul and Ryan and JP and all them. So those are times I'll never forget.
Mm-hmm. Everything's good. Just playing games in hotels.
Sounds awesome. So, that sounds like a TV show. Kind of like comedians in cars getting coffee. Have you seen that show?
It's like a terrible show.
Yeah, but
playing games in hotels.
Playing video games in hotel rooms. I know that feeling all too well. I'll never forget when we played Metal Gear Solid 5 for the first time and ordered Papa John's. It was awesome.
Well, the first day of Uncharted, I ordered Papa John's.
Did you?
Sat there and played Uncharted.
Did you eat the whole pizza?
I got a small pizza.
Okay.
So yes, I did eat the whole pizza.
Didn't we get mediums when we got Metal Gear? We ate all of it.
That's
that's disgusting. We both ate a whole medium pizza.
I know. That was a special occasion.
I remember.
Got a barbecue pizza.
Uh-huh.
And the first two pieces, I was like, this is good. I just got sick of barbecue sauce halfway through the pizza, but I trudged on and ate it because I was hungry.
Ugh.
But it was good. I had barbecue sauce as the base.
Wow.
I'm sure that sounds delicious to you, Garrett.
Well, that's the thing. If it wasn't pizza, if I take the word pizza out of my brain, I'll eat it. But I like to think of pizza as a very traditional, either supreme, pepperoni, plain cheese, or pepperoni and sausage, bacon.
You didn't like the buffalo chicken pizza I got?
No, that's the thing. I like it, but I love traditional pizza so much that
I'd
rather just
have
that.
But I like going crazy sometimes, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you got to branch out sometimes.
I was thinking, I've tried this kind
pizza,
of stuff.
This pizza had, instead of marinara, had a barbecue sauce glaze.
Okay, and that was a Sweet Baby Ray's?
Jeez, I don't know what it was.
Okay.
It had, I'm not really a big fan of that thick barbecue sauce.
I like the thinner stuff
more,
too.
I like a more thin barbecue sauce. Vinegar-based or mayonnaise-based white barbecue sauce is incredible. It had a nice barbecue base on it, some cheese, some bacon.
Oh, my.
Some grilled chicken.
Oh, wow. See, I don't like chicken on my pizza.
See, chicken is good on
everything. Chicken's one of my favorite toppings on pizza.
Chicken, you can put grilled chicken on anything and it's good.
Yeah.
Chicken, well, I agree with that. Chicken is the best food.
Yeah. It's good on pasta.
Chicken is the best food. Jacob Alka 2016.
It's good on Mexican food. It's good on, I mean, think about it, an Italian pasta with, like, chicken on it. Look at that. Pizza's Italian. Put some chicken on it. It goes on
pizza's
everything.
Pizza's Italian. Put some chicken on it.
Chicken is involved in literally every ethnicity of food. Everything.
It is.
Yeah, because it just goes good with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something chicken doesn't go good with. Nothing.
Cake.
Cereal?
Cereal. Cake. Chicken cereal. Sounds good.
Chicken goes well with waffles.
Ice cream.
It does. See? Look at that.
Chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles.
Chicken and ice cream? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I'm sure some fried chicken with ice cream, that saltiness and sweetness, I'm sure that tastes good. Anyways.
You make excellent points.
Chicken and fruits.
Yeah.
I won't deny any of them.
Just give the damn thing a try.
Yeah.
I've tried it before.
From Frederick Fox video, what does he say?
Yeah.
Just give the damn drink a try. If you guys know who Frederick Fox is from E-Bombs World and YouTube,
for a long time.
Yeah, you've been on the internet for a while. So if anyone knows who Frederick Fox is, give us a shout out or something.
Where are you?
Or quote him if you know him really well. Yeah. Quote something really obscure that he said.
We need to find him. He's gone off the face of the earth. I need to find that.
I wonder if he's still alive.
I'm sure. I don't know. He might have,
it's funny
know.
To think in the day's day and age, if someone's not on the internet, we're like, are they dead?
Yeah.
So,
but anywho, that was episode 51 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games and other things.
Obviously.
If you like that, please give us a like down below. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and write a comment down below as well so you can engage in a very thoughtful, mature conversation with the journal.
Very mature.
Yes, very mature. But yeah, I think that'll do it for tonight. Any closing thoughts?
I just want to applaud you on that outro. That was
it was great.
Nice.
It was very smooth.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jacob, your pecs look great as always, especially those biceps. That's all I have to say.
Wow.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I guess.
You look great in gray, too.
Thanks.
That's all for me.
Okay.
I like the color coordination of your blue shirt with a blue bill with the red little piece of tag with the red hat.
Thank you.
I just noticed and I like it.
And the white writing too.
Yep.
Oh my
You're
gosh.
Right. You're absolutely
you know,
correct.
You know he's thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on top of things.
We'll see you guys next week.
Have a good one.